Gospel reading will also be our sermon text for this evening. This is from Luke chapter 14, verses 7 through 11, and that's found on page 873 in your Pew Bible. But I am going to actually start at verse 1 of chapter 14 to give us context. So hear now the word of the Lord. One Sabbath, when he went to dine at the house of a ruler of the Pharisees, they were watching him closely. And behold, there was a man before him who had dropsy. And Jesus responded to the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath or not?" But they remained silent. Then he took him and healed him and sent him away. And he said to them, "Which of you, having a son or an ox that has fallen into a well on a Sabbath day, will not immediately pull him out?" And they could not reply to these things. Now he told a parable to those who were invited, when he noticed how they chose the places of honor, saying to them, "When you are invited by someone to a wedding feast, do not sit down in a place of honor, lest someone more distinguished than you be invited by him. And he who invited you both will come and say to you, 'Give your place to the firstborn.' And then he will begin with shame to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit in the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, 'Friend, move up higher.' Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at table with you. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted." The word of the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, your word is true. Your word is life. Lord, we pray that you will be with us now, that as this word is preached, Lord, that you will be with me, that by the power of your Holy Spirit, I will speak your truth. And Lord, we pray that we will have an encounter with you, and you will change us by this encounter with your word, that each one of us here will be more like your son, Jesus Christ, and that he will be glorified. We pray in his name. Amen. Well, years ago, I had a coworker, and this coworker was a master at self-promotion. And he was smart. He was a hard worker. But these qualities alone, they did not account for his rapid rise in the company. And what he would do is he would always put himself forward. He always managed to be in the right place at the right time, to be seen, to be noticed by the bosses. And he carefully documented all of his accomplishments and all the accomplishments of the departments that he managed. And he prominently displayed these and distributed these successes throughout the plant where we worked. He made sure everyone knew about his successes. And he volunteered and he took initiative to be involved with the most visible and the most prominent initiatives in our plant. You can really think of him as the poster child for all the biggest projects that were being done. If something important was going on, you could count on seeing this man in the middle of it. Now, I'm not criticizing him. To tell the truth, I tried to do the exact same thing, but he was just better at it than I was. But there were many other engineers in our company, older and much more technically competent than this man, and many of them even worked harder than he did. But these men didn't promote themselves. They simply did their work. They didn't jockey for the most visible projects or promotions. And as such, they didn't see this rapid rise that this man did. Now, I'm not going to speculate whether this approach is the right or wrong way to advance in a secular career. But I know this approach of self-promotion is spiritually dangerous for us. And it's not the way for us to behave in the Christian church. So the background of this parable that we see here, starting in verse 1 of chapter 14. Jesus went to dine at the house of a Pharisee. He was a ruler of the Pharisees. And Jesus is not invited out of any goodwill or any love for him. The Pharisees, they were watching him. They wanted to see him mess up. Remember, they wanted to find something they could use against him. And this is where Jesus is heading toward Jerusalem. Jesus is headed toward the cross, headed to die on the cross. So they're looking at something that they can use against Jesus to accuse him, to stop him. And Jesus doesn't disappoint them. Immediately, he sees this man with some sort of injury or deformity, a dropsy, they call it. And this could have been a setup for Jesus. This man who is disabled could have been invited, because it was the Sabbath day, and he could have been invited to see if Jesus would heal this man, heal on the Sabbath, and something that they could use against Jesus. Now, it's important for us to understand that this was not contrary to God's law. Healing on the Sabbath was not contrary to God's law. Rather, the Pharisees, what they had done is they had come up with man-made laws so that they could try to quantify God's law, mechanical laws that they could use. And really what they were concerned with was only the outward appearance rather than the spirit of the law. So, for example, they didn't see it a violation of the fourth commandment to conspire together, to devise a plan to entrap Jesus. No, that was fine for them. But Jesus taking pity on someone who is suffering and helping this man, healing this man, this to them was seen as a violation. So Jesus uses this occasion to give the Pharisees a lesson on mercy, and to really to expose their legalism. And the men are silent. They're unable to answer the wisdom of Jesus. And then Jesus notices them, how the Pharisees, they're all jockeying for position. They're all trying to get the best seats, the seats of honor, perhaps the seats closest to this ruler of the Pharisees, to their host. And they're all promoting themselves at this dinner. They're all trying to make themselves look good. They're trying to make themselves seem important. And this is the context of this parable. So Jesus, again, uses this as another teaching moment. But Jesus' teaching is much deeper than this incident at hand. Jesus is not just communicating something about social etiquette here. Jesus is teaching them an eternal truth. He's speaking about the nature of the kingdom of God. He's speaking about the spiritual character of those in the kingdom. And in this parable, what Jesus is doing is he's comparing the kingdom of God to a wedding feast. A wedding feast. So why is this important? What is Jesus' point? What's he getting at here? Well, think of any weddings that you may have attended. Think of your own wedding if you're married. Did you have assigned seating at the weddings? I mean, some weddings do, some weddings don't. I remember our wedding almost 33 years ago now. Lynn and I went through all the guests that we had invited, and we put them at specific tables that they had. And then when the guests entered the banquet hall, they would see their name on a list, and the host would direct them to the table that they were assigned to, and they would have a little place card on the seat showing exactly where they were going to sit. We had everyone where they were supposed to go. There was no guesswork at all. So at the wedding, how we had it set up was we had the head table. A lot of weddings are the same thing. That's where Lynn and I were, the bride and groom. And then we had the wedding party on either side of us. And then going out from the head table, the closest tables to the head tables, one was where my parents and grandparents sat, and the other where Lynn's parents and grandparents sat. And then we continued going out. There were uncles and aunts. And as you got further away from the head table, that was further away from the relationship that they had with us. So we went out to more closer friends, distance friends. We had a table for high school classmates and a table for coworkers. And the way we determined the seating or the closeness to us was a relationship that people had with us, to the bride and groom. But we really could have used any other criteria. It didn't really matter. We could have seated people based on their age or their height or their eye color or whatever we wanted to do, or randomly seated them. The main thing to think of is that we were the ones who decided that, not the people who were being invited. And I think that's what Jesus is getting at here. He's saying that the point of this parable is that the places of honor are not up to the guests to decide. It's up to the host to decide, the person who invited them to decide. They don't take it upon themselves. I mean, I could imagine, you know, the date of some classmate that I had in high school deciding to sit right up there in the where the bride or the groom was going to sit. That would be arrogant. That would not happen. So what Jesus is saying here is that this type of self-promotion, jockeying for the best positions, the positions of honor, this just doesn't cut it in the kingdom of God. In fact, this type of self-promotion, this is a sure sign that they don't get what it means to be in the kingdom of God, that they really don't deserve these places of honor. So why is that? Why don't they deserve these places of honor? What is it about self-promotion? What is it about aggressively seeking what is best for ourselves? Why is this a problem? What does it display? What does this attitude display? Well, it displays a me-first attitude. It displays a self-centered pride that is really antithetical to the gospel of grace. This is wholly opposed to Christ. It's wholly opposed to his character. It's wholly opposed to his sacrifice. It's really an attitude that has no place in the kingdom of God. Promoting oneself, jockeying for the places of honor, really survival of the fittest, simply taking what we want. What this does is it all displays an attitude that I am the one. I am the one who decides. I am the one who decides who gets honor. It's all up to me rather than up to God. And it sends a message that I am the one who is sovereign. And God is at best irrelevant. God is impotent. God is non-existent. I get what I want. I take what I want. I am sovereign. And this is the attitude of the world. This is the works righteousness of the world. This is my standing is determined solely by me. It's determined by my ability, my pedigree, my position, my determination. This is the world. And if you think about it, this is really an attitude of unbelief. An attitude of unbelief. This is the polar opposite of the kingdom of God. My friends, this is the way we think. This is the way all of us think. Even as Christians, this is the way we think. We are so wired both by our own sinful nature and by life in this fallen world. We are so wired to this works righteousness way of thinking. We are wired to thinking that my success is even maybe my survival is up to me. It's determined by what I do. I must take what I want, or else I will be left out in the cold. I will be left with nothing. And this is the message of the world. This is the law of the jungle. Kill or be killed. This isn't really the nature of our capitalistic economy. The competition to survive, you must be better than the rest. If you're not better than the rest, you're gonna be irrelevant. And this mindset affects even our relationships. Relationships are seen as transactional. They're seen as fluid. Relationships are judged by what's in it for me. What's the immediate benefit that I can get from this relationship? And if the alliance is no longer beneficial, then it's abandoned or it's betrayed. And taken to extreme, this is the mindset that you see in prisons. This is the mindset that you see in gangs. This is the mindset that you see in the mafia. This is the mindset of hell. No love, no camaraderie, no fellowship, just pure selfishness. And hell, pure selfishness for all eternity. And this is the antithesis of the kingdom of God. This is the antithesis of Jesus' character. See, as Christians, we are displaying the same character that our Savior displayed. Jesus did not seek the position of honor, but he came to be a sacrifice. Jesus did not fight for his rights, but he voluntarily gave up those rights. Jesus did not seek to be served, but to serve. Jesus took the lowest position. Jesus was despised. Jesus was mocked. He was abused. He was killed. And Jesus' instructions in this parable is for us to react completely opposite, 100 degrees differently than our natural disposition, than the disposition of this fallen world. You see, we are to seek the lowest positions, not the highest positions. We are to place not the places of honor, but the places of dishonor. The places that are no one sees, that are overlooked. We're not only to associate with people that can bring our status up, but we are to associate with others who can do nothing to help us. Nothing whatsoever to help us, but we are to befriend those. Those from a worldly perspective have nothing in it for us. And this way of thinking makes no sense to the world. It seems utterly absurd. It seems suicidal. And there's one difference, one key difference that allows us as Christians to think this way. One difference in our thinking that allows us to see that taking this lowest position rather than this highest position is actually in our best interest, in our long-term best interest. And the one key difference is we actually believe it. We actually believe God. We believe he exists. We believe his word. We believe that his word is true. We actually believe that if we exalt ourselves, he will humble us. And if we humble ourselves, he will exalt us. See, if God exists and if his word is true, it is not in our best interest to fight for our rights. Because we will not only be fighting against others in these places for honor, we will not only be fighting others for these places of honor, we will be finding ourselves fighting against God himself. My friends, this is a fight we will not win. No matter how determined you are, we will not win this fight. Conversely, it is in our best interests not to fight for our rights, not to strive for the places of honor, but to take the lowest positions. Because we find out that we don't need to strive with others. God will be the one who will fight for us. God will take care of us. God will give us the position that he has determined is best for us. And this position, whether from a worldly perspective, is the highest position or the lowest position, it will be a position of honor from God's perspective. My friends, that's all that matters. It's all that matters. It will be a place of honor from God's perspective. And in this, we can have complete confidence. In this, we can have complete joy, filled with joy. So this parable does not call us to false humility. It does not call us to deny the obvious abilities that God has given us, the obvious authority that God has trusted us with, and to claim that none of this exists, to claim something that we know is not true. No, not at all. And moreover, it doesn't call us to outwardly seek these lowest positions all the while secretly desiring the highest positions and really attempting to manipulate God to reward our humility with these higher positions, setting us up for resentment toward God when he doesn't do what we think he should do, and just anger and even a crisis of faith when he doesn't do what we expect him to do according to our timeline. Now, the purpose of Jesus' instruction here is to set us free. Set us free. Freedom from the cruel taskmaster of works righteousness. Freedom from the constant striving to validate our worth by outward praise and honor. Freedom from our sinful addiction to glory. Freedom from our desperate and fruitless attempts to save ourselves. And he does this by changing our thinking. He changes our thinking. He gives us faith and trust in Christ, and not an abstract and distant faith that one day we hope will get us into heaven now, but a faith that has an immediate impact on our lives right now in the present. See, this faith changes our desires. We no longer seek our glory. We no longer seek to promote ourselves. Our overwhelming desire is his glory. Our goal is to promote Christ. Our goal is to make his excellency known. And when we act in this way, a way that is totally contradictory to our natural impulse, by not seeking our own honor and glory, but by taking the lowest position, when we do this, Christ is glorified. And my friends, we can have confidence. Confidence that God will place us in the position that he has sovereignly ordained for us. From before the beginning, the foundations of the world he has ordained for us. And in this we will find perfect peace. In this we will find perfect joy. In this we will receive honor. Honor from the triune God himself. My friends, this is the only thing that ultimately matters. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the truth in this word, in your word. Lord, we pray that you will enable us to live them out, to live this way that is totally contradictory to our natural disposition. Lord, kill our desires for glory, kill our desires for greatness, and give us the humility that we saw in Christ. Christ, although he was in the very form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but lowered himself, taking upon the nature, our nature, and taking upon the form of a servant, and going to death, even death on the cross. Lord, that is our example. Lord, we pray that you will give us the grace to have that same example. And we know that everyone who exalts themselves will be humbled. But if we humble ourselves, you in the proper time will exalt us according to your perfect wisdom, according to your perfect will for your glory. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.